Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back to thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, wake up all the teachers, time to teach a new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. If we just let it be, na 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 na, the world won't get no better. We gotta change it now, just you and me. Wake up all the doctors, make the old people well. They're the ones who suffer and who catch all the hair. They don't have so very long before their judgment day. So won't you make them happy before they pass away? Wake up all the builders, time to build a new land. I know we could do it if we all lend a hand. The only thing we have to do is put it in our minds. Surely things will work out. They do it every time. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it now, just you and me. Need a little help, y'all. Yes, I do. Need a little help. Say it, boy. Need some help, y'all. Change the world. What it used to be. Ain't doing it alone.
Ain't doing it alone.
Need some help, yeah.
Need some help, yeah.
Politicians, well,
need a color. Everybody,
we need each other.
Wake up, everybody. Well, see, we need, wake up, everybody. We
come
need,
on now, wake up, everybody. No more sleeping in bed. No more backward thinking. Time for thinking ahead. Wake up, all you teachers. Start to teach a new way. They're the ones that suffer. Teach them every day. Teach the children.
Teach the baby.
Teach the
baby.
Teach the children.
Teach the children.
Teach the baby.
Teach the children.
Hey, hello, 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 hello. Hello, everyone. One second. Okay, here we go. Okay, it's been a long week and a long day. Welcome, everybody. Hey, wake up, everybody. Wake up. Oh, wait a minute. Hold on 1 second. Okay, here we go. Sorry, you guys. A lot to do. Get the show going. All right. Good afternoon and welcome, everybody, to Bring Back the Family. Wake up, everybody. No more backwards thinking. Time for thinking ahead. Welcome, welcome, listeners all around this beautiful world. And I am happy and so glad you chose to tune in to Bring Back the Family. Focus on the youth. If we don't help our youth now, we will be victims of not helping later. If we don't help our youth now, we will be victims of not helping later. Keep that in mind. So first we want to acknowledge God with the scripture and a prayer. Okay. Our scripture reading is a living sacrifice. Romans 12:1-13, a living sacrifice to God. And it reads, oh, and so dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, a kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Do not think you are better than you really are, but be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith God has given us. Just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with God's, with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body and we all belong to each other. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So, if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. And if it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice a hospitality. Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers and hearers of his great and mighty words. Let us pray. Lord, we just thank you. We thank you for this day. We thank you for life, love, fellowship, and friendship. Lord, just thank you for the blog talk show and the avenue of bringing back the family, Lord. Just use this venue to help us know how we really can bring back the family in the manner in which you meant for it to be, Lord. We just thank you, Lord. Just give the parents what they need to make it in this world so that they can give it to them, give the kids what they need to make it in this world, and give the parents the ability to be able to tune themselves into their youth so that they can give them what they need. Lord, we just thank you. Just thank you for all the listeners. Thank you for all the speakers that's going to speak today, Lord. And just thank you for Blog Talk Radio and Bring Back the Family. Just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. So, wake up, everybody, and wake up. Everybody, it's a call for people to wake up, to get engaged, and to make a difference. To wake up to the challenges that have been with us since the beginning of time, calling for reform and change, awareness, hope, and accountability. Whose responsibility is it? Wake up. No more backwards thinking. Times are thinking ahead. It encourages all people to do better, because they can do better when they are faced with a better tomorrow. Who is responsible and who is willing to take the responsibility and sacrifice in making this world a better place for our youth to live in? Are we willing to roll up our sleeves and to get to it? What are we going to do to make up in our mind to do? Bringing Back the Family is a show that is designed to bring awareness to what we need to do for our youth in order for them to be good, productive citizens so that our youth can contribute and be a contribution to society and others all around the world. And all they need is a good foundation. They need us. They need us. And how are we going to do that? We're going to do it block by block, by block. Do something in your block. Give them what your parents gave you. If you don't know what to do, just give them what you was given. Be creative. Think of some things that you can do to give them what they need to make it. Because we know what we need to make it right now. We know exactly what we need to make it. Interesting week. Last week, it was nice to have that day off and just sit back and listen to Pastor O and Shania Cox and Jackie Vandergrift just had their way and really made Bring Back the Family proud. They just really represented well, and I just enjoyed listening. So, and other people would enjoy listening. So we have to share. We have to share Bring Back the Family. We have to share this blog talk ministry, okay? And so that's our responsibility, to share it, because we're talking about the youth. We see a whole lot that's going on with the youth right now, and we're just seeing it. But what are we doing about it? And we can do something. We can help. You know, if we start right where we are on our block with our kids, and just doing a new thing, giving them the time and the attention and just the resources that you hear on the show and the resources that you have to give them what it is they need to make it. Because they truly need, We're going to continue with discussing disparities in the education that's affecting our youth. A lot of listeners are responding about the race acronym, and they like it, and they said that they would use it in their classroom. Some of the educators that were listening and heard it said that they would indeed indeed share that and use it in their classrooms. And so we're going to talk more about that. Like I said, share, bring back the family so that all, you know, the resources and the learning tools that I share on the show can be used, you know, by many. And talk about socialization, because our youth need to know how to talk to others and how to have a good conversation, and they need to know how to behave in public. And that they need to know that it is a time and a place for everything, okay? This week, last week when I was out, I had, you know, kids. Actually, I was given the opportunity to offer the opportunity to use my van services, and then it gave me an opportunity to invite the youth on my block. And so we went to the Tigers game. And it was good. It was a good experience for the kids, because some of the kids had never been to a Tigers game or to a stadium, and so it gave them the opportunity to socialize and see how others behave and have fun, and so that was a good opportunity, and they really had a good time, and I had a good time watching them have a good time. And then this week it was really, really busy. I was so tired. I slept yesterday after I got home, and slept till this morning. And so all week, the opportunity arose for us to go on another outing, which was 4 days this week, which was, I think we went Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Saturday. And we went to the Rocket Mortgage Golf Classic. How about that? The Rocket Mortgage Golf Classic, and it was phenomenal. And I took 12 kids, and they were able to just see how everything was set up. They were able to just see what all was involved. They learned, you know, the etiquette of it. But you have etiquette. You have to have etiquette while you're out there watching them play. You know, you have to be very quiet. You know, it's hard for our kids to be quiet. But they learned, you know, all the rules and the signs, and because they put up signs when it's time for you to be quiet. And so they learned all that, and they gave them instructions, you know, before they went in. And so they were able to experience 4 days of the golf classic, which was a very, very good experience for them. You know, it involved a whole lot of setup and billions and billions of dollars, you know. And they let them know that the players, you know, they compete, and that they compete, and they compete, and this is their way of living. You know, this is their job, the way that they make their money. And they make billions playing golf, you know. And it was just a good experience. And I was like, well, see there, you guys, you could do this too. You could be billionaires too. The billions are for you too, you know. It wasn't many black men representing, but it was some. And it was great to see. Maybe five. And they were all very impressive. Uh-huh. And I think the last day that we were there yesterday, two of them were still in the run-ins, and they were making some shots that made you just scream. And that's why buildings are at stake, because you have to be able to do some different and some magnificent things, you know, some focus. And they saw that they were really focused. And, you know, this is a good way to show them you can be focused, and this is how you're supposed to be focused when you want to win all these billions, you know. And they saw a shot, and they even screamed that. This one black man, I wrote his name down, but I don't remember what it was. But he, his ball was over in the grass, and he was on the hole, you know, where you putt. He was on the putting hole, and he putted that ball out of that grass. It hopped up, dropped to the ground, and went straight in the hole. Man, you could probably hear the screams and the cheers for miles away, because it was really, I was like, wow. I said, you guys see that? You see that? That just takes, you know, concentration, and it just takes, you know, takes you to be focused to be able to do something like that. And then he got to the next hole, and he was just cracking that ball. You could hear it, and it just make you just like, wow, you know. And so, the kids had a kiddie golf set up out there for them to be able to golf and practice. They used the putter, they used the chipper, they used the line drive, the one that, you know, hit off a tee. And they practiced, and they really got into it. And I was like, yeah, I could do this, you know, if you really want to, you know. Let me see. And so what else? I made a lot of contacts, and they have contacts that have a lot of programs that want to play golf, they want to practice, learn golf. And it'll be tied to education and scholarships and things like that. And so some of those made commitments to come on to the show and talk about, you know, their programs. Okay. Yeah. So that was fun, you know. And so those are the opportunities that you get, you know, when you just put forth the effort to just do something for your kids on your block, or any kid, somebody that needs something. You know, it come time we don't conversate anymore. And these young folk need someone to talk to. They need someone to talk to. They need to know that we care about them, and that that they are important. Everything that we do, you know, to look out for the youth on your block, God will give you the means to do it, the means to be able to do it. Mm-hmm. Whatever you plan for them, you know, and just put forth the effort and just go and do it out of your heart, the kindness of your heart, and just do whatever you could do, because these are his kids and he wants them to make it too. And so when you put forth the effort to try to help these children, help these babies, because they really do need help. All kinds of doors will open up for you. I'm a witness to that. All kinds of doors will open up for you, and he will give you the increase that you need to do what you do for these kids, because these are ultimately his kids, okay? And he will give you the increase. He will make it happen for you. And, you know, this week was tiresome, but it was great just to see the kids be able to have a good time. Next week, Tuesday, we're going on a two-hour trip to a car showcase or something. It's 2 hours away. So they're going to get that opportunity, and they want to go. Okay, and then after that, what else? More Tigers games, and another trip about an hour and a half away. And so those are the things that I have been allowed to do with the kids on my block, all because of the effort to do it, okay? And so God brought a resource for me to do for agency that I was able to bring my kids here. So isn't that great? All right. So, yeah, these kids need us. They need us in a bad way. They do. Because what we're seeing now, if we don't help, it's just going to be more of it. More of it. I talked to a young man the other day. I just talking to these young boys, 16, 17 years old. They have a lot on them. And if we don't know what it is, they're going to keep it inside, and they're going to continue to do what we've been seeing doing. And so if you take some initiative to talk to them about it and find out why they do what they do, why the gun, why do they need a gun, they'll tell you. But you have to be straightforward with them, you know, and listen, and don't judge them. Just listen to them like, wow. And then you could give them what you think about it. You know, you could let them know, about your fellow man and death and things like that. You know, would you like to see your brother or your sister or anything harmed, you know, when you get ready to think about doing something to harm someone else? They want you to be real with them. If you talk to them, don't judge them and fuss at them and just, let them know you understand, you know, and then find out what it is that they need. What is it you need that we can help you with so you don't have to go out here and be afraid or get a gun or whatever? What is it that you need that we can help you with? What can we do for you, you know? Help them get into some programs. Help them get whatever it is that they need. They might need some shoes. They might need some food, whatever they need, you know. Let the Lord lead you to be able to help that person, okay, that kid, that youth. Because they need us. They just giving them a hug. You know, maybe that's all they need is a hug. You know, they need to be shown love. You know, because they're so entwined with the needy social media and the phones and not communicating, and we're helping them not communicate because we won't even talk to them. So we're gonna just have to change that. Okay. Let me see. To my screen. Yeah, so like I said, it was a nice, long, and busy week, and I'm just kind of recuperating. It was kind of rough getting the show started today, but we are here, and we got some listeners going on. So we have our regular Jackie Vandergriff on the line. She has some things to share. We have a lot of resources, information to share with you today, about the different activities that's going on in the community that we can share, that we can help our kids with, that we can go register them for and put them involved in, you know, different things. Whatever the Lord leads you to do that you know that they need, you know. Like I said, ask them questions and find out what they need. Find out what, you know, kind of grades they have and what class that they're struggling in. Get them a tutor, you know, or offer to help them. Encourage them, you know, to do better. I put on Facebook today, take the kids on your block to church. Take them to church today. One, two, take some. Four, S-O-M-E, some. Take some. Take four. You know, that's a good number. Or just take one. Start taking your kids on the block to church. Just grab one with you and take them. You know, find out their parents. If they say they don't have nothing to wear, go buy them something to wear. Okay? But get those relationships going back. Get that village going, you know. Socializing, because if our kids don't see us socialize, then they won't know how to socialize. Okay, so that's a big deal, you know. What our kids need to know how to be social and how to behave in public. If we don't take them outside the city, if we don't take them outside the home and let them you know, explore and show them things and show them how other people live, then they're not going to know. They're not going to know. They're just going to do the same thing that they do right, you know, there in the front yard or wherever they go, you know, just they won't know how to behave, okay? I know. I'm just glad. I'm thankful and grateful that I had parents that made sure our behavior was solid. Because I feel like I would be just embarrassed to be out in public doing some of the things that I see. And so these kids, they want and they need. They want to be able to do what it is that they need to do and shine. So, you know, just do what you can do to help these babies, because they need it. Unless we're going to still get enough, the next generation, and the next generation will see more of what's going on now. I don't want nobody to keep calling me, telling me about, you know, 17, 18-year-olds, you know, losing their life. It's happening too much. So, therefore, it's time for us to do a new thing. It's time for us to look out for our kids and all kids. And, yeah, like I said, grab them up, take them to church, you know, so that they can learn. They can learn how to behave. Okay. All right. So, like I said, we got Jackie Vandergriff with us today, as well as anybody else that want to conversate and talk to us about something good today. You are welcome to do so. Just press 1. This is an open forum, a round table discussion. And if you have something that you want to convey and talk about, then by all means, do so. Okay? All right. Hey, Miss Jackie.
Well, hello, hello, hello to everybody. Hello, Pastor O. I know you're listening, and all the other good people on the line. I'm so proud of Kathy. Kathy, I'm so proud of you, the things that you're doing in the community with our children, because it takes a special type of person to sit there and listen to a young person and not be judgmental. And I kind of had to kind of change my strategy. And, you know, I speak about my nephew because at 16, he's just right around the corner from being what does society consider as an adult. And in some cases, in the legal system, they will charge him as an adult at his age and sometimes younger. So I started dressing him with the responsibilities how an adult does things. And one of the things we were laughing about when I told him that in a few minutes you'll be able to look back and see what advantages you had as being a child and not having the responsibilities of being an adult. And now you'll appreciate those moments, but you'll be grown, and as an adult it comes with responsibility. So now when I speak to him, I said, chew gum and walk at the same time. You got to learn how you're old enough to set your own clock for your own appointments, have your own calendar book. Let's write in what you have to do so you'll have something to remember by. So I have to start training him as an adult, because he's closer to adult and he has to make responsible decisions. And Kathy and I were talking about, and I remembered about a young man, and I was in my 20s, and he had stole my car. No, he didn't actually steal it. Some other kids stole the car. And he was a young college student, now the first in his family to ever graduate from high school and ever go to college. His grandmother was raising him, and you know how proud she was. But he had a lot of brothers and sisters, and she couldn't afford to buy him the luxury in life. And all children is going to have a desire to have better shoes, better money in their pocket. So, you know, you have out there society looking at the ones that are struggling and say, hey, well, if you do this, you can have a little money in your pocket. But what they didn't tell him is that they saw the police, so they immediately got out of the car. He got in, and they says, take this car around the corner and drop this package off. And they were going, I don't know how much money they were going to give him, but he was desperate for money. And he didn't have gloves, couldn't afford gloves to go to school. It was wintertime. And so he did it, and the police pulled him over. Well, they arrested him in a stolen car because he was driving it, so that meant that it fell on him. The next thing was they arrested him for the drugs that he had. And he really was so naive, he didn't realize that it was drugs in there. So to make a long story short, when we got to court and we had got into the courtroom, and his grandmother, she was so disappointed. She just had tears in her eyes. And she said she was raising her grandchildren because the parents had some personal problems. So out of all of her kids and her grandkids, he was the first one to graduate from high school. So she was totally disappointed in him. And so I knew the judge at the time, and I asked him, did you hear what she said? And he says, I heard it, but he committed a crime. And I was telling Kathy, I said to him, but don't you have the authority to make a decision? He says, I do. I said, this is the first generation, and his brothers and sisters are looking up to him. If you put him in jail, wouldn't that destroy the generation behind him, his generation, brothers and sisters? And so he thought about it. So the judge, what he did was he told the grandmother that he had made a decision. He wasn't going to charge him with the drugs, nor was he going to charge him with the theft of the car, because he was aware that he actually did not steal the car. And so he told the young man that you have to represent the family. And as long as every week you bring in a report that you did everything you were supposed to do in school and you kept your grades up and you put forth 100% effort, he said, you will stay free. And so he asked him, why did he do it? He says, well, my grandmother didn't have the money to give me money for lunch. I don't have gloves. I don't have boots. His shoes were tore up. And the judge made sure he got that child some shoes, gloves, coats, everything he needed. And he told him every week, that you show me that you're improving, he gave him an allowance. Mm-hmm. I was impressed with that judge. I can't tell you the young man's name. I wish I had kept up with him, because I can imagine what stories he's telling his children today about why it's important for you not to get in trouble, why it's important for you not to allow someone to influence you. But the point was, is that these are the people that Kathy's out here talking to that most people are disregarding, because the first thing, as human beings, we look at them as a bad egg. But it started somewhere. And why did it start? What was this child lacking? So it kind of wakes us up. And when she was telling me the story about the young man, that's how it came back in my mind about this person. And for so long, you know, you have so much knowledge and wisdom that you come across that you forget a lot of these things. But I am thankful for your show, Kathy, which it also, you know, we have a responsibility. And one of the things, the young boy came and he apologized, but I told him we failed him. As a community, mm-hmm. we failed him. Because this is a child that had all the right intentions. But like Sanaya said last week, it's a hard road to finish college. It's not easy to finish college. You have to be on a mission, and you have to have a strong support team that have expectations. And you know those expectations. So you buckle down because you know they're not going to accept anything else. But some children don't have parents that have that type of influence over them with that expectation. So saying all of that, I'm going to get into the program that I kind of was going over today. It's called, I might pronounce it wrong, but I think it's Udemy, UDEMY.com. That's the course that has the certification. They have in development, they have business, finance, accounting, bookkeeping, cryptocurrency, I don't know what, and blockchain. I don't know what the blockchain is. IT and software offers productivity, finance models and analysts, investment and trading, personal development, design, marketing, health and fitness, and music. I was looking at another program, and they touch base a little bit on these certifications. So it's kind of good if we, and I was looking at it knowing that our kids are going back to school, well, they have the month of August to maybe finish a certification. But if your child works on a certification and completes it in 2 months, if it's 42 hours online that you have to, they could break it down and say 21 hours that month. So they can break it down on the days of the week, how they're going to break that 21 hours to complete it that month. So so every 2 months, they'll have a certification. So now by the time they get to the next year, then they will have something under their belt to go in their portfolio. We have to help our children build these portfolios so they can be marketable. So that's where I'm at there. I think I saw one here that I might want to just open up and take myself to kind of see what some of the training is like. And I think it was called Powerful Speaking. You know, I would love to be a powerful speaker. So I said, you know what, I was looking through some of them. I said, well, maybe I'll take that one. It has a 4.5 stars rating on it. So I think I said, well, maybe I'll try that one to see what it's like before I just start introducing him to it. I mentioned it to him, and but I didn't push it on him until he cleared up some of his schedule this summer. And so August is here, so he should be almost finished with most of it. And we'll go from there. Any questions?
Wow, how many classes, certifications is it?
Well, you know, they have quite a few. I believe it's over 100 and some odd different courses that they have. And I'm looking here under the JavaScript. And the reason I said the JavaScript is because That's in the back end of the computer. I can't tell you everything what Java is. Some computer geeks would probably have more of an idea than I would. But now, like this one here, it says, learn JavaScript online and supercharge your web design with the JavaScript for Beginners training course. Now, what you'll learn here, informative and interesting video lectures, lab exercise, all PowerPoint demonstration used in course, cover all of all important primary JavaScript concepts, complete code demonstration and lectures, lab solution set, instructor contact email for questions and clarifications. Now, that's what's included in the JavaScript. Now, this one here is for beginners. So that's only a 2.5 hours on demand, the video that they have to watch. One article, one download resource, six coding exercises, full lifetime access, access on mobile and TV, certificate for completion. So now that is just for beginners. That course there is $19.95. But now when you get into some of the other courses, they might be $99. So what I'm saying here is that if someone takes a course and they complete a course every 2 months, that one they can complete in no time. But say, for instance, that they have another course and they want to complete it, and give yourself 2 months because you will have a large curriculum in high school, going to high school. So you want to make sure that you don't overload yourself. But this is part of your investment on yourself, making sure that you are marketable when it's time for you to get into the workforce or whatever directions, because I'm looking at some of this stuff here. If you're that good at it and you learn it, it's easy for you to start your own business at home right there on your computer. And you'll always be able, you'll always be able to be self-sufficient. So, you know, it's not only for kids, it's for adults too, whoever want to expand themselves. But the thing about it is you're making yourself marketable. You're putting yourself in a position that you don't have to be at home to. Yes, we all have to cover our income, but they don't give you a notice when they say you're laid off. So if someone says that we don't need your services right now, you have some type of knowledge to expand yourself to say, well, I still can pay my bills. I still can feed my family. I still can be self-sufficient. So that's part of that. When we start coming across certain things, it's not just for the children. Sometimes it's for the parents as well, because when we look at it, we're in the job market. Even being retired, you still want to make sure you're self-sufficient. Because the way they have it now, they can break your bank account just with medical expenses. They can break your bank account down to the bare minimum. So I hope that's something that that we can kind of work on together. It says here, They have 7,047 students, and they have 721 ratings, overall ratings with the courses of the 721 is 4.4. So that's a pretty good rating for this, and I'm just glad that it was brought to my attention about it, because I never knew about this in the past, and so that's where I'm at.
What was the name of it again?
U D E U as an umbrella. D as in David, E as in Edward, M as in Mary, Y as in yellow, .com.
Oh, Udemy.com. Okay. Good deal. Let's see. So if you take so many of those certifications, you could just about have a degree.
You almost can.
If you take so many.
Go into certain fields, and that's your passion. You could build your own website. That's saving you thousands of dollars.
Mm-hmm.
Or you could have your own business to be working for other people, doing that, building their website, teaching them how to market, because they have marketing courses. Young people know how to do some of those things, how to make your business go viral. In my generation, speaking of myself, you know, and I do have some computer knowledge, but behind when I had the COVID, it kind of cut some of that off too, but I'm still pushing. And so I'm just saying that kind of be self-sufficient, you know, it's just, you know, being wise out there, making yourself marketable and learning things that you never would have been able to learn if you go to a university to learn it. You wind up spending a whole lot more money.
Yeah, that's like self-taught, and then you know, if you're not really wanting to go to college,
that's it. But even
teach yourself.
Like going to college, when their portfolio is put together, it's showing that this person here is a go-getter. This person here, and sometimes, you know, universities' life experiences like this, they can test out their knowledge and don't have to take those courses in college, and they can get their degree sooner.
Yeah, that would make them marketable and open up some doors for them, and then like the business, learn to have their own business right in front of them, in front of them on the computer.
That's right, because you know it's also they're teaching coding, and coding is something very important, you know. I said I was going to look up, what was the name of that course that I told you? Drones. Let me see if they have anything up here for drones, because drones, he was saying before the pandemic, let's see what they say, drone programming. Let's see what they say up here about that. They do have some of the courses for drones. Now, I do know for a fact that he was taking the drones program prior to the pandemic. It was shut down because of the pandemic. But if he had completed that program at age 16, could have received took the federal exam and had a federal license, and could have been hired to do work for the federal government with the drones. And that is a position where they learn, they make big money. Real estate companies use people with drones on how to taking pictures of residents and things of that nature. It's big money. It's big money. Mm-hmm. And when we start introducing our children to these type of programs, what we're doing is we are occupying their minds with positive things so they don't have time to get into the negative things.
Yeah, even for summer, you know, summer, like the kid, I can't remember his name, Jackie's grandson got on and was talking about the going to school all year and preparing for the school year in the summer instead of just, you know, playing and having fun. So that's something that they could do while they're on summer vacation.
And I was truly, and they got to hear drones from beginners. I was truly impressed with those two young men.
Mm-hmm.
you have to look at the source. You know, look where they get from. You know, Jackie is the kind of person that she puts forth effort, and she's a walking example in front of them. So I can understand why they would think like that. But you have to have them in that environment. And what happens so many times is that people will say, well, you have to give them, they have to have, know the world. They have to know this. No, they don't ever, rich people are never brought into certain, they don't know nothing about the communities where children are getting killed at. Their children are never exposed to that. So if your child is not in that environment and they are in an environment with like-minded kids, then they won't become a part of that unless you're not involved with them or keeping building a network, because you can't be there 24/7. But you know what? There's some great people out here doing some great things, and that you can tap into and build a network to help you build that village to help with your children. And after a while, you're going to have to get a bigger bus, because everybody's going to have their children on your bus.
For real. That is the truth. Yes, ma'am.
I just had to smoke that one in there.
They didn't have enough kids for their bus. Huh?
Kathy had the purple bus.
Right. I'm ready for that. Lord going to bless that, because he know that all the kids need something. And, you know, as many as I could take, I will. They could sit on top of each other's lap. That's how I used to do back in the day when I had a van. One time I think I had about 12 or 13 kids in the van, and I know I was breaking the law. I was like, Lord, I just prayed. I said, oh, please let us get to our destination there and back, because I wanted everybody to go. And, you know, they sit back and they looking sad and they wanted to go. And boy, we was going to a basketball game, and it wasn't that far, maybe 20 minutes away, and I was like, oh, Lord. And so I took that chance, and shoot, the Lord got us there back safely and back. Yeah, so I needed a bus way back then. I always said, I'm going to get me a van so I can have, you know, enough space. Yeah,
you never know, Kathy. You never know if somebody might donate you a van, or donate it through the church, and they let you use the van. You know? So
Oh yeah, the Lord's gonna open up all the doors that need to be opened, because He sure did open one up this week and last week, and it was good. And that just showed me that. Wow, this is what God has in mind, and He's going to help me and help us do what it is we need to do for these kids. All we got to do is take that first step to just talk to the kids on your block, talk to a young man that looks like he might need something. You know, if he don't look like it, still ask him and talk to him about it, you know. And, heck, we can't take none of this stuff with us, so we might as well do something with it while we're here. And so he'll make a way for you to have what you need to do to help these kids. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Just got doing it. He'll make the way. Take one step, and he'll take 10 steps. Real. That was just shown to me this week, this whole week, and I was like, wow, this is what you had it planned, you know. I mean, it wasn't nothing I wasn't doing back in the day, but he just brought it back, because, like I said, I want to just put my head under the covers and go to sleep and just close my eyes to what I saw, what was going on. You know, I really did. Because I was like, shoot, I'm tired now. I'm 60, and I'm like, I just want to, you know, do something for me for once, you know. And I was like, I didn't say you could retire. So I was like,
damn. But you know what? they say 60 is the new 40, so you got a long way to go.
Oh man. But you know, it just seemed like I was, you know, back in the day, the noise didn't bother me. They were singing, and they were singing some good songs, and I was like, now they can learn them songs, and they act like they can't learn their schoolwork, but they had them songs down pat, and they was in harmony. They were singing so good, and it just sounded, I mean, it was like, wow, these some talented kids. They don't even realize that their voices are so beautiful, you know, and that's how you notice, you know, and you find a kid's gifts when you just be around them, you talk to them, you hear them, you know. I was like, boy, these kids are talented. I mean, they were singing, it was so harmonized, and just like, wow. I said, do they even know? But I let them know. I said, y'all really sounded good, you know, and it was a nice song. I heard it again, but I don't really know, you know, what it was about, but it was nice. It wasn't nothing bad. It was a nice, lovely song.
Great.
Yeah.
And it is really great. And but keep up, keep the good work up, Kathy. Mm-hmm. And you know what
God's work.
I can do, support you. I will.
I know. Yep. And then too, this gave the kids a chance to meet other kids, other people, and, they was able to socialize with other kids and other people. They made some really, really good friends. And, they had a lot of adults encouraging them. And, they were really happy, so I was glad of that. And they were just glad to see some kids, you know. They didn't really have enough seats to fill the buses up every day. So I was like, you want kids? I got kids. And so I can't worry. They ain't have to worry about that. I said, I got your kids now. Don't ask them. Don't, you ain't got to say it twice. I am on my way. Y'all get ready. Yeah,
right.
Got ready, so. Yeah. And so, yeah, we got a lot going on. Bring Back the Family has a lot going on. And even in my brother's basketball camp, we got some kids registered for that, and they go and they do basketball camp training. They love it. They even went on the field trips with us when they didn't have to go to the basketball training. So they was like, that's what we need them to do. Just stay busy. Keep busy. So I was liking all that interaction. So I hope you guys like what you're hearing today, and that, you know, press one if you have something that you've done on your block and that you're doing, you plan to do. And, let us hear from you. Press one if you have a word you'd like to share. Let me see. So, yeah, you were talking about the judge. That was a great thing. And, see, that's what we need for the judges, to have more compassion for these young kids, because they do bring about a lot of issues that, you know, a lot of kids don't have, or some kids don't have. All kids don't have everything. They don't have both parents. They don't have all the resources, the food, the clothes, and things they need. And so when we speak on behalf of these kids and let them know that we do care, these judges will be a little bit more lenient and think about what it is that's going to affect, you know, down the line. And so he took an initiative to go in his own pocket.
Mm-hmm.
He makes lots of money. He makes a lot of money putting these people away, lots of money. So it's okay to give back, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so he took the initiative to go in his pocket and reward and encourage a young person to do to walk a straight line, gave him something to do, and you know, expected him and had high expectations for him to do it. And so instead of him hitting that guava and saying 5 years in juvenile or whatever, he went in his pocket and challenged that young man and gave him another chance. I mean, we were young once, and I'm sure that we didn't do everything right. I know I didn't. We didn't do everything right. And so, but we weren't thrown in juvenile. Our parents didn't give us away. You know, a lot of these parents just giving their kids to the system, just giving them away, you know, instead of, you know, taking that time out to encourage them and spend time and spend resources and hard-earned money on them to be in activities, you know, to help them. We just take the easy way out and we throw them to the system and put them in programs that, you know, sometimes they help and sometimes they don't, you know. But now the system is so overcrowded and so flooded with the kids, because there's so much trouble out here for them to get into, because we haven't taken the time to make sure that they're busy doing positive things that that they're, you know, they're being they're getting in trouble. And you don't have the judges now that's going in their pockets and giving them chances and saying, okay, well, I'm a let you go to this program. I'm going to let you do this. I'm going to let you do this. Go in the community, do some community service or whatever like that. No, they're putting them away. They're putting them away and letting them sit in these cages like the animals. And they don't even have the staff or the resources to even help them inside of there. And talk about child abuse, man. So,
they're charging, from my understanding, if a child goes to juvenile, I don't know what it is now, but I know years ago they used to charge the family $400 and some odd dollars a month for that child to be there, because I knew somebody had to get a second job just to pay for that child there, and they were held accountable. And if they missed the payment, the court would hold them in contempt of court. So it's a hardship on one. If the family's already struggling, can you imagine what something like that would, what kind of effect it would have on a family?
Well, I don't think that's how it's happening now. These courts and things are making money on these kids now, and the parents are not paying anything. It's coming from the states and government. So now it has turned into a money thing.
I know it's a money thing, because putting a child away or putting a person away, is they're making big money.
They are.
A lot of contracts. People have contracts in the prison. People are making items for them for pennies on the dollar, and they're paying them 35 cents an hour to do it. It's cheap labor. And then they turn around, they use them because, like you said, they're money makers for them.
Well, the kids are not doing that kind of labor yet. That's if they go to the next level. But but the juvenile system, they send them to these programs, you know, and it's just all a money exchange thing, and it's just really getting ugly. I'm seeing so much, and it's just like, I don't like what I see, and so. It's just really ugly, and it's nasty, and it's greedy. It's greed. And so, but the parents don't know. They don't realize what they're doing, and they're just giving their kids up to these systems. And instead of taking that time out to give them the time that they need, we'll support things versus, you know, things on the outside that they're doing. You can get them tutoring. You get them in basketball. You get them in football. You get them in soccer. You could have them play golf, tennis. You know, they have programs where you go down to Wayne State and learn mathematics. There's so many programs and so many things out here that you could put these kids into now. But you have to do it. But they rather the states and governments do it, and they don't have their best interest at heart as far as when it comes to their education and all that. They couldn't care their family. They're using those funds that they're working on their job to send their kids to college, you know. So, we just became lax with our own kids, and we think that someone else could take care of our kids better than they could take care of themselves. So it's just an ugly situation. Yeah, so it's about, it's just about caring. It's about, you know, these kids, and they didn't ask to be brought here. And my thing is that when they are brought here, this is their time. This is their time. And you have to be able to sacrifice what you want, put to the side, on the back burner, and give them the time that they need so that they can make it, you know, so that they can make it. It's wild out there now. We don't know when somebody's going to come knock on our door or give us a terrible phone call about our kids, you know. So, but how are we going to stop all this?
That's true.
How are we going to stop it? So we have to do something. We have to start investing in our communities, investing in our kids, you know, around us, because they are growing up, and it don't take them long to grow up. It don't take them long to grow up at all. And so, and if we don't help them, it'd be dangerous for us. Yeah, it's dangerous for us now, and it's dangerous for our kids. So it's up to us to make up our minds, you know, what we're going to do to help and change this madness that's going on. And all it takes is just, you know, putting a little time for it, and that's it. Yeah. So what else is on the agenda? So, like I said, we have a lot of resources, and, like I said, everyone likes that RACE acronym, and they said that they were going to use it for their class, and, that's a start. You know, that's the start.
I said it is. It is. It's a start, and we have to start somewhere.
Yeah.
You know,
so anyone want to chime in?
I said I use it for writing.
For your?
When I write something, I use that acronym.
And if we don't share, it's been shared. So everybody should be willing to share it with someone else. Like I said, I have a lot of resources. Let me see. People have been sending me a lot of different resources and things that the youth can do. I printed this out, but it's not readable. I'll tell you, this is a long week. But I know someone sent me, Miss Carly sent me information about the Detroit Lions training day. It's our big and families. It says, I'm so excited to announce the Big Brothers, Big Sisters of Metro Detroit has been invited to the Detroit Lions training day on August the 10th. That means you. Date Wednesday, August 10th, 8:30 to 10:30. Location, Detroit Lions Training Facility, 222 Republic Drive, Allen Park. Let's see, our families and matches are invited to attend training day on August 10th. You don't need to RSVP with us. You can just go. Check out the parking
and training camp activities below. Okay, so it got a little website. So it says Detroit, I need my glasses. Detroitlions.com/training camp. Okay. Training, and they have our training camp activities. I will give this, now you can be able to drive directly. It says you are able to drive directly to the event and park yourselves, but we are considering hiring a bus to drive a group together in the training facility depending on interest. Okay. So, yeah. So that is the fill out in Google Forms. Okay, having trouble. Okay, so, yep, that's the Detroit Lions training day, and that's August the 10th. Wednesday, August 10th, time 8:30 to 10:30 a.m. at the Allen Park Training Facility, which is 222 Republic Drive, Allen Park. So I'll give that to Pastor O in our church so they can put it on their website, and then you guys can go to rfcm.org and get that information. Or just go to DetroitLions.com training camp. Mm-hmm. Okay. So that's one thing Ms. Carly had sent for that. And that's Wednesday, August the 10th. All right. That sounds like something fun and different to do.
Yeah.
Okay. So anyone else have their hand up, want to speak? Here we go. We got somebody. Area code 219.
Hello?
Erico 219, you are on Bring Back the Family. Hello. Hello.
Just got off work. Can you hear me?
I hear you.
Okay.
Who we have with us?
Devin.
Oh, Devin, hello. I didn't recognize that. There we go. Hey, Devin, how you doing?
I'm doing well. Got off work. Yeah.
Oh, good. Good. Glad you're listening. What you got to talk to us about today?
Mainly, just talking to my roommate. You know, he's another African American like me, so I was looking out for him. You know, I caught him eating my food, so I just had to talk to him real quick. You know, it's you can't just eat other people's food. One is disrespectful. But as we live in these dorms, you're basically living with strangers, and you don't know what they might do. So I showed him my article of an Asian man poisoning another African American, because the Asian man was racist. So I just wanted to show him out, make sure he ain't doing that no more. You don't know what anybody capable of, and some people have died here.
Wow. Okay. Well, so how long has he been your roommate?
We're 3 months in.
Okay. So you guys get along pretty good? Everything going okay besides that?
Yeah, he was very understanding. He said, thank you for putting me in check, make sure I don't get messed up, just for a little bit of food when he could have just asked for some,
Mhm. Okay. Well, good deal. Well, where is he from?
I don't know.
What state? Okay. So you just try to get to know him. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, usually the students that's African American, they're usually from Gary, Indiana.
Okay. Well, you just get to know him and, find out, what's going on with his background, his parents or whatever, what he had going on. And maybe he needs something. If he needs something, let us know. We'll make sure he gets it, okay? Through you.
All right.
Okay. You know how we do it, right?
Yeah,
Yeah, even if you notice anything about him that he needs something that he needs, you know, if you notice something that he might need that he don't have, you know, books, something, anything, and you notice it, let us know. We'll get it to you, and then you can hook him up. All right?
All right.
You got it? Okay, and then just
yeah,
support him and help him as much as you can. Yeah, support him and help him as much as you can. You know, show them that love. Show them that Clyburn love. You know what to do. And, you know, that's how we do things. So let us know. And if you need something, you know what to do, right?
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Okay. Anything else on your mind?
I got a year left of college. Yeah, and then I'll try to find my own place out here. And try to produce music and start touring.
Okay. Well, you got a plan. Proud of you. Yep. That's Devin, and that's my nephew. And you go to school at Purdue. Tell us about that, where you go to school. And what you're majoring in and all of that.
It's a university out in Fort Wayne of Indiana. Purdue University, and it used to be Indiana Purdue Fort Wayne, but we got a name change as we're starting to collab with Indiana University. So now we have medical degrees. That's new, and we're also partnered with one of the greatest and largest music stores in the world called Sweetwater. So that was a big plus for me as they incorporating new degrees, music degrees for me. So with that, I switched my degree to popular music, where they're going to teach me how to produce my own music and learn how to make money off my music instead of just, you know, playing classical music from the 1800s, you know. But there's good money there, too. There's good money everywhere in the music industry. Yeah, that's about what I'm doing here with my music degree.
Great, great. That sounds beautiful. I like that. Moving forward. And we'll look forward to your graduation. Gonna get in that van and we're gonna come on down. Okay, great. Thanks, Devin, for calling. I appreciate you for calling to bring back the family. I didn't even recognize that number. thank you so much.
Yeah,
Dad, have you been doing okay?
Huh? Yeah, I've been well.
Good.
I'm working at Walmart now, and I'm doing 15 an hour.
Okay, good deal. All right, well, you make sure you keep them grades good. All right, thank you, thank you. Anybody else want to make a comment, give some feedback? You're welcome to press 1. Okay, a nice lineup here. We talked about the juvenile system, and you know what's going on with the kids. So let's try to make sure that our kids don't even go that route. Let's head them off at the path. And definitely we have to start early. We have to start young. No one could take care of our kids better than we could take care of. We take care of our kids. Yet. We got to get these people out of our homes. You know, they took all the discipline out of the home, and we have to get them out of our homes so that we could take care of our kids in our own homes the right way. Because they have given our kids a way to fight us, a way to disrespect us, and it has gotten out of hand now. Just like the prison system, it is out of hand. They have nowhere to put these people, and it's just, and they're building more and more places to put people. And they really don't have the staff shortage. And because of the pandemic, they have, like I said, they have a staff shortage at most of these juvenile places, and they're not able to give our kids really what they need as far as mentally. And they're all being gathered up together, your violent ones, your mentally ill ones, and your ones that you know, maybe skip school or something. So it's better for us to take care of our kids at home and give them what they need, put that time in. Okay, we got another caller here. 7736, your last number. Hello. Welcome to Bring Back the Family.
Hey. Hello. Hi, how y'all doing today?
Hello.
Yes.
Hi.
Can you hear me?
Let me adjust something. I hear you. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, this is Anita.
Oh, hello. How are you
doing?
Hi
there. I'm doing well. I was sitting here listening to you. Oh, no problem. I was sitting here today. I took off, so I had a chance. I was able to, you know, listen in today. And it'd be a lot of stipulations to this. It's not just the parents. It's just, you know, some kids are in the system because they just are. It's not the parents' fault all the time. You can't always blame the parents.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And as far as you saying, getting the kids involved with these programs and, you know, activities, those things are expensive. And a lot of parents can't
mm-hmm.
afford that. I see it every day. I work in juvenile detention. The kids don't have anything to do. They walk around their own neighborhoods afraid. They're carrying guns.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's not enough being done in the community. You know, the police aren't doing enough. I mean, I don't see any community policing. You know, it's just a lot of factors, and it's not always, you know, the parent. It's not. It's only so
mm-hmm.
much some of them can do. You know, we got to help the parents too. To help their children.
Right.
To keep
mm-hmm.
their kids off the street from doing this and that. And yes, they do need to, it's really messed up. It's sad.
Yeah.
I have several kids sitting in juvenile detention today. I got about maybe, I think we have about maybe 5 or 6 that are waiting to go to placement.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they've been in and out of our system, in and out. So.
Like you said.
I want to help. I speak on it all the time. Sometimes I feel like it's just that pipeline just to get them ready to go to the next step, which is prison. You know what I'm saying? Because it's just,
right.
It's not enough being done. It's not enough being done. And a lot of people have turned their backs. You know, thank God for people like you, myself, and others who are listening. But it's so many more people, like, giving up on these kids.
They have.
Yeah, they really have.
But they can't give up. They can't give up because they're putting themselves in danger giving up. So where does it all stem from? I know it's not always the parents' fault. Like I said, we have so many people in our lives that's coming in our homes, putting the rules down in our own homes instead of letting the parents have their rules and discipline their kids the way that they should discipline. I know some of them go overboard, but it's not,
yes.
You know, everybody, you know. And so now it has gotten so out of control that now the kids are fighting against us. They're cursing us out. They're, you know, their own parents. They're just totally disrespectful because they think that this is what they can do because they think that they have protection. And in some cases, they do have protection because I have one grandparent that has invested in their grandchildren and have invested good quality time. Put them in the best schools and everything, but the system allowed them to know, okay, well, if they put your hands on you, if they do this, do that, you know, call us, you know, and it gives them a chance to say, well, I'm just going to lie and say you did it, and then they're ready to put the handcuffs on you, you know, because just because they said it, you know. No matter what this parent or grandparent has done to invest and to make these kids the most intelligent kids, that, you know, to give them good opportunities, and they just want to throw their opportunities away to just have their way. And so instead of them seeing that the parent or grandparent has been here for these kids and have done all the great good things for them, they have not been in trouble with the law, they have been, you know, out of the court's way in all kind of ways, and they want to put the handcuffs on the parent or the grandparent. You see? So this is what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
And so some parents say, well, you just go right on ahead. You know, they're done with them. And some of them just hang in there, you know. But these kids, they oh, boy. So, yeah, it's just a lot of different scenarios here. Mm-hmm. And so you're saying that the community should be, as far as the states and government should have more things for the kids to do in the communities. Is there a responsibility to make sure it's community centered?
Exactly.
You're breaking up. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, you're breaking up.
Hear me? Yeah, I mean, you know, like county commissioners, somebody should just, I mean, you look at it. I mean, you look on the news, you hear, you see, what is going on with these kids out here? Like, what do we need for our city to bring our cities back?
We have
you know, so it's going to take a lot to get there, and I get that the kids that you can reach, by all means, continue to do that, you know. But it's a mess. It really is, and it's sad. You know, I sit and listen to kids tell me how they're afraid in their own community, you know. There was still a car and being a car driving a stolen car as opposed to walking around in their own community. They can't leave their house unless it's a gun on them. You know what I mean?
Right.
That saddens me. You know, they can't go to the community center because it costs so much and this and that, and they have no mentors. What are men at? What are real men at that's going to mentor some of these young men? Where they at? You know, a lot of, you know, that's another key factor. Where the mentors at? Where they at?
Right. It's true. The men need to step up. I spoke with a young man yesterday, a day before, one day this week, and he said the same thing that you said, that he's afraid, and they said we had our time as the way that we fought in our day. He said, and this is the way that they fight in their day. You know, they carry guns because, you know, they are afraid. So, yeah. So it was, you know, I just wanted to hear it. I wanted to hear everything he had to say about what's going on, you know, in his world. And so he had no problem telling me, and I was glad to hear it. And so he's going to come on one day and just really tell us what is going on in their world and all these kids, you know, that have the same mentality. When you get that opportunity to talk to them, give them something to look forward to. Give them a way out, you know, introduce God to them. As for their protection. I told them about the time when I got robbed they were trying to rob us, and that we had, me and my husband at the time, was contemplating on getting a gun. And so we said, we'll pray about it. And so before that week was out, or that next week, we went on vacation and got our answer, because we didn't have no guns. And our lives were saved. It was spared. Our lives were spared. We didn't have no guns. I told them, guns don't always mean you're gonna win. I said, guns, if you have a gun, you're gonna use it, you know. And once you use it, you know, and you're not supposed to have it, and you use it, you take somebody's life, your life is over. Your life is over. That person's life is over. And how would you like for somebody to a life of one of your siblings, you know, talking to them like that so they could just get the real part of it, you know? And he's like, no, I wouldn't like that. You know, he had a friend that just died, just got out of a little program that he was in, and he came home one day, and the next day he was dead. So that hurt him very bad. So, you know, they're seeing all this go on. And so they think that they have to go out the house and be armed. You know, they think so, but they don't know anything about guns.
Right, they don't.
So, yeah, they don't.
I missed everything.
So, like you said,
you know, the education piece, you know, that's another part of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're allowing the teachers to just pass our kids along. We're not going up to the schools, making sure they're getting what they need. They want to put them in these alternative schools and things of that nature. They're not getting their education. They just passing them along.
Mm-hmm.
They online, you know, just doing stuff. They doing their work online where they're not getting, you know, these kids need hands-on. I look at it every day.
They
need hands-on. They need to be educated. And they're not. So they just lost.
They're not.
Until somebody speaks up and speak on that. And these are our kids. These are our kids.
They're
so
our kids.
Us parents are getting out there advocating for our kids and this and that. Then it's, you know, a no-win situation. We got to be active. And when we see young
parents,
and they struggling, we got to step in. But it's a lot of factors when it comes to it's a lot, from the educational piece, from the community piece. It's a lot.
It's like a big ocean.
But we have
it really is. Go ahead, Nate. You're breaking up.
Oh, sorry. Is that better?
Mm-hmm.
Sitting out here in the backyard. Can you hear me?
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah,
I hear you.
You know, I do what I can. You know, I give back. I always, you know, I always have a lecture or different, if I can give them some resources or give them information, I'm giving that. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But that's just me. You know, and I get into it sometimes with my coworkers. I have coworkers who work in the field who's like, if that kid come back, they're like, I don't have this right. I don't have nothing else for them. I'm like, damn, you just going to give up? I just can't. I can't see myself giving up on people.
Right.
Here, I just can't.
Right.
Well, these people, people get frustrated. They want to give up on our children.
They do.
We got.
But while you have them in your hands,
we have to
fight for. We do. And if they're coming there, and while they're in their hands, then they have a responsibility to give them all that they can give them at that time. You know, they might be coming back because they're scared. Because that's a safe haven for them.
Mm-hmm. That is the case most of the time.
That's very sad. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So what a lot of the kids that you see, a lot of them, do they have parents, hands-on parents?
Yeah.
Most
of them are single moms. The majority are single moms. Most of the moms.
Right.
Yeah. Young parenting, you know what I'm saying? And, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
I know you said about the pipeline.
Strong men in their circle, you know, the only strong men, they probably, you know, the rappers or what they see on TV, they just, it's a mess. It's so gone. This social media got them gone. It is a mess.
Yeah, they don't.
You got to get them. You have to get them early. You have to reach these kids early. You got to start when they're in elementary. You got to
get them early.
Stay on. Support. They need to have more programs, more scholarships. They need to let these parents know about scholarships because a lot of programs have scholarships. A lot of parents don't know about it. From the YMCA to some of the community, they have scholarships. Because a lot of things are expensive. Even when you play high school sports, now you got to pay to play. And that's expensive.
And that's why I say block by block. If you just go in your pocket and try to help if you can. God will make a way for you to be able to help more. I'm not rich. I just take whatever I have and just do whatever I have to do with it. That's it. I don't need nothing else, you know. And then God will make a way for the rest. He'll make a way. If he see you doing it, putting forth the effort, he will give you what you need to help. He will. I'm a witness. That happened this week. It really did. It really did. It was for me to tell you guys, for real. just do it. My dad say, be like Nike. Just do it.
Yeah.
I do the rest.
I say that a lot.
Yes.
I say that a lot.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we got a lot of work to do.
I have kids to come to me and say, Calvin, come on, let's pray, Miss Calvin. I'll pray for them, you know.
Yeah.
And then we pray, you know.
Yeah.
I care, you know. It's just, I don't know, sometimes it's like, wow, these kids.
They got sense enough to know that they need prayer, too.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that something? They got sense enough to know they need prayer. And that's like they say, they go back in there so that they could be safe. And that's a sad thing. So,
yeah, it is.
You still with me and me? Yeah. So you were talking about the pipeline. And so, like you said, with the community, with them not having any community centers in the community, and lots of things for the kids to do, a better school system. They could be opening up the schools in the evening for these kids to have somewhere to go. There's a lot that could be done, but they don't. They just don't do it in our communities. They just don't. And I guess if we don't get up and say something about it and try to get some things going, then they know, you know, if we don't care, they don't care. So it's up to us to, you know, probably just kind of spread this word, you know, tell people about this program so we can keep talking about it so we can get rared up and get so rared up and that we really want to do something about it, step out and do something about it. You know, and then more people know that it is resources in the community for our kids. We got to get that word out. Yeah.
We need to
be
down here
at the
town hall meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Meetings, these town hall meetings, we need to be there. Hall meetings, just be down. We need to be really being active for them. Because if we ain't saying nothing, we can talk about this all day, every Sunday. But if we ain't down in their faces and putting it up, they're not going to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
Because they don't really care about our children.
Yeah, that's what we have to do. Actually, I know another parent was saying that we need to go to the school board meeting and be there.
Yeah, exactly. I was just
asking questions.
There you go, right there.
And finding out what's going on, school board meeting. And like you said, a city, county, meeting, the city meeting. We need to be there. We need to take some time out, find out when they are, and we need to be there and find out, okay, what do you guys have going for our kids? What are we going to do different so that we can't keep bearing these 18 and 19-year-olds? You know, somebody has to, you know, want to step up and do something. You know, we got all these elected officials. What are they coming out saying? They only come out when it's election time. What are they coming out saying when it's not election time? What are they coming out to say about what's going on in the community? So we have to try to hold people accountable. Next week or sometime, I'll try to get the information as far as when the city council meet and when the school board meet so that we can start going to some of those meetings and finding out what they're doing and they're just not holding the seat. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, thank you. Miss Anita, I want you to keep on calling, keep on listening, bring back the family, share the information so that they'll call in and listen. We're about to bring Awesome O on and give us your one. Raise your hand, be counted, Awesome Oak. And Let them give us a good biblical perspective on everything that's going on. I just want to thank everybody for sharing with us today and being in the mix. And I had some resources here, but I'll have them for you next week when I'm able to read them, because they didn't print very well for me. And so look forward to next week. So, Pastor O.
Hey, what's up? Yes, I am. Excuse me, all that noise. Yeah, I've been listening, and again, everything is good. It was good hearing from Jackie, okay, and the other callers who called in, and even the young man in school. And I like how you answered him on how to deal with that. You know, same thing happened on the job when certain jobs, people go in the refrigerator and just eat your lunch. So you have to learn, and he is so right. And I hope young folks in college were listening and get the message that you could be endangering your life, because some folks will just walk up to you and say, hey, stop eating my food. What they will do is devise a plan, and they will do something to the food, and they will see who gets sick, and then they'll know who's eating the food. So that's kind of a crazy, childish thing to do, is to eat somebody else's food, because you're not thinking. People, when I used to, in certain places, would do all kinds of things to their food to stop people from doing that. So that was a good thing. But the better way is what you said. Rather than retaliating like that, warn them that that could happen to them. But then try to find out, is there a way you can help them? They're lacking. They're taking it for a reason. Either they just like that, or either they're taking it for a reason. Find out what that reason is, and if you can, help out. Help out. Help to alleviate the problem, and then you can find the inroad to maybe talk to them about some other things. You might see some other behaviors that you have no idea where they come from, but you can discover. And if you can, if there's a way, something you can do, then do that to bring, you know, peace to the situation, to bring a resolution to the situation. And I love how the young, the officer, I imagine she's an officer in a juvenile facility, helps struggling parents. My wife and I used to do that before we started pastoring and doing it to the whole church. We would find individuals, whether it was a girlfriend and her boyfriend, which, you know, we don't condone shacking up, and we really don't condone boyfriend-girlfriend relationships, having kids like they're family. But it happened. They need help. And it goes back to what you say. If we don't help them now, then we'll be victims of not, or we'll be victims of not helping later, you know, because they're going to have to. Like the young man who didn't have nothing to eat, took food out the refrigerator. They're hungry. They're going to eat. Are they going to get the money out of your pocket to eat, or are you going to see the need and try to help out? So what we would do is jump in and fill in the gaps. They were trying. We're not talking about people who are just not ready to be helped yet. Okay, kids are always ready to be helped. But you have to be careful and make sure that you're helping the kids in a way that the parents can't take what you're trying to do for the kids and flip it to do something else. So you have to make sure that you're targeted and you're familiar with the situation that you're going into to try to bring, you know, some help to. But they need help. And because they need this help, and they don't get it, then the kids suffer. And sometimes the parents can go off on the kids because they kind of blame them for being in the situation, but it's their fault. The kid didn't ask to come here. Okay, they did what they wanted to do, and what happens when you do that happens. So the kids have nothing to do. They literally did not ask for you to be their parent. They didn't ask for that. You volunteered for that. And so now you have to do that. But we have to help. You know, in the Bible, it always talks about, God told the children of Israel, and the same thing he tells us today, is that we should be intentionally having something to the side to help. I mean, it was Peter who wrote that if you've been stealing, stop stealing, get an honest job so that you can work with your own hands. And Peter said, so you can not only have what you need, but to help others who are in need. And if we would stop just thinking about us and stop, what we do is we judge people and say, well, I got mine, you can get yours. You just need to do what I did. Mm-hmm. But people's minds aren't the same, and their life experiences aren't the same. And so you have to look at that, and you have to wonder why. Why are they, you know, without? Why? What's going on? And get involved and find out and help out. And you'll find out once you start helping, you know, then, you know, you'll find out. But only go as far as you can go, and don't feel guilty about not being able to go as far as you want to. You have to be satisfied that you've done your best, you've done the most. The rest is in God's hands, or the Lord brings somebody else. You don't need to go overboard, but you do need to do what you can do. And that's all God expects, is for you to do what you can do. And then we talked about recreation. You know, when I was coming up, there was recreation. You go to the playground, you could just wake up in the morning, go to the playground. They had arts and crafts. They had games. They had field trips. They had playground equipment you could play on. And then all of a sudden, everything became about insurance. So community centers started closing. Ice rinks started closing. Swimming pools started closing. Why? Because people started finding trial lawyers who would go in and sue the pool because their kid got hurt there. And as far as the trial lawyer was concerned, they were negligent. So insurance risk became a problem. And rather than a city taking the risk with a recreation center, they opted out. Because when we were coming up, you went to the playground, the swings didn't have a little cabled rope. They had a chain. And everything on the playground was made out of steel, so you could really get hurt. And the sliding boards weren't this kind of heat-resistant plastic. It was a sheet of steel metal, and that baby could heat up, and by the time you get to the bottom, you're burnt. So people started suing people, and so insurance went through the roof. And so those things are not there. They're coming back now, and if you'll notice, they've taken the risk out. The grounds are really soft. Okay, there's no more blacktop under the swings. The ground is really soft with some sort of, even if you fall, is designed to absorb the shock, and your body should be able to better handle it. At least the insurance companies say you did the most you could do to prevent this type of problem. Okay, this type of hurt to a child. So they're starting to come back in small numbers, but I don't know what has happened to us. We're no longer involved. We're no longer invested. I think parents are invested today in parents, not parenting. I'm not trying to blame the parents because you can do a whole lot for a child and they still go wrong. Okay, and so that's not your fault. But far too many parentings, like the young lady said, that a lot of the problems are with single-parent children, and probably nobody stepped up to help. Nobody stepped in. They saw the parents struggling. They didn't step in to help. They saw the children being idle. They didn't step in to help. They noticed and noted it, but didn't do anything about it. The community needs to reinvest itself in itself. What is a community if there's no next generation? Okay, so the current generation has to invest in the next generation if you want succeeding generations. Other than that, it'll just get worse. And that's pretty much where we are today. nothing's anybody's fault. It's not the parents' fault. It's not the children's fault. It's not the community's fault. It's not the policeman's fault. It's not the criminal justice system's fault. Nothing's anybody's fault. And so with everybody claiming it's not my fault, fault keeps happening, and it's getting worse. I mean, when you turn on the news and find a 13-year-old shooting a 12-year-old, you know, parents who refuse to get a free gun lock and lock their guns up, we've got a problem. And another problem is you can't always get in to help because some parents take that as an offense against their parenting skills. And so they get miffed with you because you're saying they don't know how to raise their children. And then they go off on you, and that's the end of that. And they're still stuck in that situation. You know, everybody's not a college student. Trade schools are good. Somebody has to work on your car, pick up your garbage. Somebody has to fix that garbage truck. You ever notice how much they break down? They're filled up with hydraulic systems, and those systems fail. So you need a hydraulic mechanic. Hydraulic mechanics make $25 an hour or more. I'm in search right now of somebody who can do some welding, but they're mobile. You know, welding could cost you up to $100 an hour. I took a little bitty part over at a race part over in River Rouge to, I forget the name of it, but anyway, they welded it all up for me, and, you know, it was a little bitty thing. And then as soon as he was through, he said, that'll be $60. I'm like, so I've been standing here all of 5 minutes, and I owe you $60. So there's some skill there. And this was not what they normally do. I got them to do something they don't normally do. And since he looked at it and saw what I wanted, he welded it up for me, $60. Okay, so what if you have this skill? And nowadays you can get those tools and have them right in your backyard. They're not real big and bulky like they used to be. They're little bitty boxes now and a little hose and a little acetylene. And you can do almost anything mobile, okay? Go out and make money all day, every day. So trade schools and skilled trades are a thing. And like they're saying, you know, if you're not going to be passionate when you go to school, congrats to the young man who's got only a year left. That means he's gotten through the hard part, and now he's on his way, well, you know, to, and like you say, he has a plan. He already see the potential revenue that could be made. But not everybody has the discipline to go to school. When Shania, I think that's her name, was on last week, she talked about the struggle and how what I like about what Shania was saying is that she reached out. Those teachers there weren't going to tell her, look, I got mine, you got to get yours. She's like, oh, no, I've spent a whole lot of money to be here. You're talking to me. You're going to help me with this. What time do I need to be here to get this help? And she got that help, and she got out of there, and now she's transplanted to another city doing her thing. But not everybody has that kind of discipline, that kind of support, that kind of passion, and that kind of money to go to school, okay? And you need that if you're going to go, especially college, because it could get anywhere from $50,000 to $100,000, $150,000, $250,000. And let me tell you, I know people with credit cards that's up to $2,000, and it's taken them years to pay it off. So imagine coming up from school and having a $250,000 debt, $100,000 debt. How long will it take to pay that off? If you want to pay it off quick, they'll give you a 15-year mortgage. You want to pay it off slow, they'll give you a 30-year mortgage, okay? But the house doesn't cost $100,000, but your education did. So how long is it going to take to pay that off? So you have to think realistically about that. And you can always work your way up in a company. I had to struggle at every company I went to. I had no choice but to start at the bottom because that's the way I positioned myself in life. So I had to crawl up out of the hole. And once you get there, all you have to do, what I used to do, is look for a position that was paying the kind of money I wanted, and I don't care if somebody had that job. I'm going after it. I'm kind of competitive, just, you know, in drag racing and stuff. I was going after it, and I usually got it. So there's a lot of ways to get to a place where you're making money, where you can support yourself without going into massive debt. If you're going to go to college and you're going to accumulate that much debt, you definitely need to be very serious and passionate about what you're going for. Going to college to party and get high, that is a big waste of life and money. Okay, what you want to do is go to college for an education, not a party, not a friend, not anything like that. You're going there to get educated, and if you're going to do that, it'll be well worth the money. But if you go on the party and get high, then it's not. All you're going to do is last about a year or two. Then you're going to flop out. Then you'll be back at the crib in your mama's basement, and you're sitting down there still getting high, but not moving forward in life. So that's what you don't want to do. What you want to do is be intentional about your life and get into something. Be honest with yourself and children, young folks. Be honest with your parents. If you do not want to go to college, tell them you don't want to go. Tell them you don't want to go. Don't have them spend all that money, make all them preparations, get you all the way there, and you back home before they get home. So be honest with them. Tell them, look, this is what I want to do. I don't know what I want to do. Okay? I know somebody who didn't know what they wanted to do. Then they decided to just go to this school, and then they went to this school, and then they went to that school, and then they went to this school, that school. That's my daughter, and now today she's a lawyer. Okay? But take your time getting there, and be intentional when you do become intentional. She was super intentional. She moved from here with three kids, teenagers, to North Carolina to finish her law degree and got it. And then came back here and passed the bar, and now she's practicing law. So be honest with yourself and parents. Pay attention to your kids. If you do not have a college student, I think you know that. So, but pay attention to them to see what they are good at. And they're good at something, and it's something that they would do for free, especially today when she was talking about getting into computers. If you can get into that area, you are in. You can pick your pay, okay, because there are too many people out here who don't know how to do it. You know how many people run a business don't know how to build a website? And you could build it and manage it right from your house and get paid, okay? And you never left your house. You built them a website. You master it for them. They pay you a certain amount of money a month. You're getting paid. And just imagine you have 50 of those customers, and they're paying you $100 a week. How much is that a month? How much is that a year? And you never even left your house. But if computers is, like I say, my pastor's son, he got into computers, and he went to school for computer something. And now I believe he's in Texas, okay, and he lives in a gated community. Mm. So you just have to be honest with yourself and what you like to do. If they're stuck on that phone all day and you're not telling them, get on your phone and stay on it all day, they're just doing it? Well, there you go. Find out what they're doing. If they're gaming, teach them how to create one. If they're apping, got 50 apps on their phone, teach them how to create one. And then create apps for people. And you never even have to leave home. You can do all of that at the house. But, you know, yeah, this is some good stuff. And but like you said just a little while ago, tell people about this show. so that we can keep this conversation going and we can do something about these issues that we face today. Because I know you felt it when that girl, when the young lady was saying, the community is not doing enough. Well, you saw your mm-hmm. need right there. You saw the mm-hmm. answer to why God put you in this right there. This mm-hmm. is something that God wants because the community needs it, and the community doesn't have enough of it. Mm-hmm. So you got a lot of work to do, Kat. You got to stir them up.
A lot of work. Come on.
You got to stir them up.
We in it to win it. I got a good team, and, you know, God is the first team player. So if he say we could do it, we could do it. I ain't scared. I ain't worried. I just got started, and the kids just really motivated me this week. You know, they got up, got themselves ready, and we just rolled. They was making noise, and it didn't bother me. And, you know, they just singing and having a good time. I'm like, this is what I'm talking about. So,
right, that mm-hmm. right there is what it was like to us. I loved sitting in last week because of what you were doing. You were actually mm-hmm. out with the kids doing it. That is the example yeah. right there. I mean, a lot of people might not understand what you're talking about, but when they hear what you were talking about at the outset of the show, they got a chance to go to a golf classic and got a chance to take some swings and see some really mm-hmm. a different side of life all the yeah. way out of the neighborhood, seeing people doing things that they don't do in the hood. And you know what I mean? That yeah. I'm telling you, when I was 13 and I went and lived on that ranch in Canada, I saw rather than because other than that, I was just been down hanging on the corner. But mm-hmm. doing that opened up my horizons that mm-hmm. people do different things in life. And there are other things to do. People don't just hang around throwing rocks through abandoned house windows and things like that. People yeah. do things.
Yeah,
and that was awesome.
They was hanging out with billionaires, yeah. and one of the professional golfers gave one of my little girls his ball that he was playing with. He went past her and gave her her little pretty eyeballs. He gave her his ball, and yeah.
Well, see, she'll never forget that.
Yeah,
she'll never forget yeah. that she was a part of something big, and not just mm-hmm. there, but they paid attention to her. She was
yeah, she
noticed.
Did.
And
mm-hmm.
see, that right there can change a life. How many testimonies have we heard that I went somewhere and they told me this and they showed me that, and I was so moved that that's what I became in life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's when it all changed for me. Everybody got a testimony of how it mm-hmm. happened.
Right. And then I saw a little girl, because they had big motor coach buses for us to get on after we got to the University of Detroit. They had lots of parking over there. So they had big motor coach buses that we had to get on in order to get in. That's the only way you could get in. And a little girl had her little lemonade stand outside her house across the street. And so the bus drivers and the people, you know, that came to park there, they was going over there supporting her. And I was like, wow. And I was telling her, I said, you could be a billionaire too. I said, you got this one little lemonade stand. Just think, you're going to have a big lemonade stand store one day and a bigger store, maybe 3 or 4 stores. I said, then you'll be a billionaire.
Already an entrepreneur, already,
yeah.
you know, uh-huh. already understanding, yeah. I got to make the lemonade, uh-huh. I got to go out here and advertise, I got to go out here and make sales and give change, so I need to know math,
mm-hmm.
and
yeah.
all of that is coming into play. School now makes sense, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
When you're doing something mm-hmm. like that, you see school makes sense, because this could make me a whole lot of sense.
Yeah, and they would give her, she might give them a glass of lemonade and maybe some peanut butter crackers. They'd get her the whole 10 or
exactly.
the whole 20. Uh-huh. Yeah, so she made her some money.
That's it right there.
Yeah, it was billionaire.
That's it right there.
Yeah. So she said, I got an idea. I'm going to get my lemonade stand. All these people coming and going.
Mm-hmm.
She sure did.
That was set up right here.
Uh-huh. Yeah, she had two other little entrepreneurs with her, real little ones. She was really busy trying to help, getting in the way and helping at the same time.
But that's awesome.
A good time. Mm-hmm.
So see, that's parenting right there. That's the easiest way to teach them how. And my brother Kenny Joe McClaw, he taught us all how to hustle. He was the exterior interior paint guy, the hot tamale man, the ice cream man. He was, I'm telling you, he had 55 ways of getting paid, and that kind of hit all of us. It hit
everybody.
All of us. We, because if he could do it, we could do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one thing about him, I never knew him to sell drugs. Never.
Mm.
Of all the things, I've never known him to be a dealer. You know, of all the things I ever saw him knew that he did, I don't think he ever got into that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how I got into it, but, you know, because I'm definitely not the type. But for me, it was trying to be like my father. He was a man who took care of 9 kids. And, you know, even when my sister started having children, he would help them out, too.
Mm-hmm.
And we never missed nothing, you know. And so I felt like, how am I going to be like that? How am I going to make that much money? So I came up with the idea that, I'll just do this. And that's how I ended up doing that. But that was not,
that
was not a winning strategy. That's not a winning strategy. You know, drug dealers don't think they don't. They discuss it among themselves, and there's two things that scare the crap out of drug dealers. And they face it every single day, and it's the reality. You can't escape it. It's only two ways out. Well, three ways. Quit, okay, go to jail, or or get buried. Those are your three options. Those are your three retirement options. Quit while you can. Go to jail or get buried. And every drug dealer will tell you that those are the three things that bother them every single day. Because, yo, the guy you're selling to will kill you if you can't afford it. And the police, all they do is chase. All they do is chase after people all day. That's what they do. And Lord help you if the DEA come after you. You're really in trouble.
Mm.
Because when they come to get you, they've already got you. You don't know it, but you've already sold to an undercover.
Already been gone.
And they're just coming to pick you up. So it's not a winning strategy. The best strategy is get you a lemonade stand. Sit out in front of your house. That's a better strategy.
Right.
Get a rake. Go rake leaves in the fall, shovel snow in the winter, cut grass in the summer. You can get paid.
Yeah, Kenny Joe, he left a legacy of business, and like you said, it touched everybody. He just thought everything, hot dogs and painting and cooking.
Everything, the hot tamales. I'm like, how did you even come up with that one? But he was the hot tamale man.
We love to eat.
Boy, he had the gift of gab, boy, I'm telling you.
Mm-hmm.
He could talk you out your next breath. Go on, let me have that next breath. Next thing you know, you choke.
He passed that on. He even passed that on.
I'm telling you. He's showing up, Kenny Joe Jr. He had John Mack. And all
of
them got it.
Still talking when they sleep.
All of them. Keela, the whole bunch. All of them. They all got it. They all got it. Every one of them. Yeah.
Okay,
but that's all I got.
All right, this is wonderful. This has been a glorious day, a glorious week. And just thank everybody, you know, just whatever you heard this today, take it and, you know, do something with it. Like Anita was saying, it's just, they need a lot of help. We don't know what we're going to do. They just need a lot of help. And if you can help in some kind of way, just do it. God will bring the extra increase to do whatever it is that you're doing. Okay, I'm here to tell you. And just put on your block and lift up one of those little ones and give them what they need to make it. Okay, there's a lot of resources, a lot of things out here that they can do. Just ask them, what is it that they want to do? Find out what their gifts are and start, you know, helping them with it. You know, get them a tutor. Put them in a math class. Every little bit helps. Okay, so until next week, there's probably some more stuff. I had a lot to talk about today. We're going to, with those certifications, like Jackie said, she's going to do one. I'm going to do one. And then we'll come back and tell you how it is and, you know, what happened and all that. And then we will be able to give, you know, more information on that and to help some of these young people be able to do what they need to do to get those certifications. You know, if they need a laptop, if they need, you know, the funds in order to get on and pay for it. So we'll check it out and we're going to bring you more information. Thank you, Jackie and Devin and Nita, Pastor Owen, and everybody that came on with their comments. It's just a lovely thing. And we're going to make it. We're going to make a difference in this world. And, we're going to make a difference and help the kids that want to be helped and the ones that need to be helped. We're just going to help. And whatever they do with it, that's what they do with it. But we're going to do the best that we can. Okay? Got a good song for you guys. My brother told me to play this, and I'm going to play it. And so listen to it, and I'll see you next Sunday, same time, same place. And thank you. Love, love.
If I were a drummer, I would use my cymbal. If I were a writer, I would use a pencil. A prolific dissertation. If I was a speaker, I would use my hands. If I were a potter, no matter. Everything.
Come on, real big. We must praise.